Welcome to this special episode of the Marvel Synergy Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Tai, writer of several guides to the Marvel Cinematic Universe that are also called Marvel Synergy. As many of you know, I'm a huge Marvel fan. I am also of Chinese and Vietnamese descent, and so when I heard Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, Marvel's first film with an Asian lead, was going to be filmed in Sydney, I tried everything I could to get on. I am happy to report that I managed to get on as a background extra. In this special episode, you'll be hearing about my experience working on the film, as well as the experience of other background artists who got to be a part of this groundbreaking production. You'll also hear from a special abilities extra, a stand-in, and a health and safety production assistant. Note that at the time of recording, neither myself nor the other people in this episode have seen the film due to a lockdown brought about by the COVID-19 Delta outbreak. I was asked to be an extra for scenes shot in early 2020, but unfortunately was overseas in Dublin at the time and couldn't attend the costume fitting. I thought I had missed out on my chance to be in an MCU film. However, the COVID-19 pandemic saw many film and television productions around the world, including Shang-Chi, go on hiatus. As luck would have it, I wound up getting onto production when filming resumed. I and about 80 other people were Talo villagers. The village set, which included a temple, rice fields, part of the lake, and several other buildings, was built in Prospect, a suburb about 32 kilometres from the Sydney CBD. The mountains surrounding the village were, of course, added in with CGI. We started on the 13th of August 2020, and the shoot wound up lasting about 2 months or so. Extras of varying Asian ethnicities from various parts of Sydney were hired, with some commuting close to 2 hours to get to set.
Oh, not me. I only travelled 12 minutes from where I live.
This is William O'Yong, a fellow background extra and one of the first people I met on set. This is how a typical morning usually played out for us.
Well, I'd have to get up before dawn, so roughly 4 a.m. sometimes earlier, head on over. Security at the front gate would check our call times to make sure we were in for that day. We'd drive over to the car park, find a spot, get bussed over to the front sign-in. So at sign-in, we'd hand our phones in to security for the day, then head on over to costume to get changed.
Many extras had at least 2 costumes. I myself had 3. A rice paddy farmer outfit, green villager outfit, and red battle outfit. My farmer outfit consisted of a sleeveless top, a sarong tied to resemble loose trousers, and conical hat. While the latter 2 consisted of a long shirt, pants, a robe, and sandals. After changing into our costumes, we head into hair and makeup. For some like Will and me, it was a quick process. If we looked more or less consistent with the photos that were taken of us for continuity, we would be quickly waved through.
The head makeup lady, she took one look at how I was supposed to look, and then she took one look at me and she went, "Go, bye." I'm like, "What? I don't get anything?" "No."
But for other background artists like Ari Tam, changing into his costume and going through hair and makeup could take some time.
So like Andy and Will that spoke just before me, I was also lucky enough to get cast into a role for the village scenes. The main difference between, say, Will and Andy's experience and mine was that I was cast into more of a warrior-type role. So mostly that entailed a more elaborate costume, and because they had already used me before in a previous scene, they had to bury me under a bit more makeup and a rather large wig, so you wouldn't be able to spot me from a previous scene in the movie. My costume, like I said, was a little bit more elaborate. While Will and Andy would have been able to just rock in and dress themselves normally like you would any other day, my costume required an assistant to basically tie me in or string me up, an elaborate sort of belt system as well. So it was a little bit like what it might have felt for women of the previous ages, getting strung up into their girdles. So after costume, I would also go into hair and makeup tent. Makeup for me was also mostly just pretend sort of movie dirt, maybe a bit of sweat. But because of the wig that they would have to put on me, it's there were only a few hair and makeup artists that were, I guess, trained in the application of wigs. So I would also have to wait in line with the other people that would have wigs applied. And so that would really kind of slow down the process. The process of wearing a wig before, as well, if you've never worn a wig before, they generally sort of apply copious amounts of gel to your hair to really slick everything back. Occasionally, they would have to put me into what they call a wig cap, which is essentially a bit of a nylon stocking that you wear, sort of like a condom for your scalp. The wig itself is made up of real human hair. So, yeah, I would have this big, long, flowing sort of hair wig put on top of me. It would take probably maybe half a dozen bobby pins to really kind of stick it into place. And then once I've sort of done that and secured it enough that it's not going to sort of fall off me with the jumping around and everything, they use spirit gum to sort of glue the edges and really marry the edges, the mesh that that the human hair is sort of stuck onto, to sort of marry that onto the skin of whomever it is that's wearing the wig. Well, in this case, my skin. So there's quite a lot of sticky spirit gum that goes all along your scalp and basically all around the perimeter of the wig. And that whole process takes maybe half an hour, at least minimum. That's not factoring in the extra wait time and all the sort of precarious positioning of the wig and just prepping the your hair, your scalp for the wig itself.
The wig Arya was given to wear really transformed how he looked, given he usually keeps his hair short.
So I will say this about the wig. It was such a magnificent wig. It was this long, flowing down to the middle of my back, kind of warrior's haircut with this top sort of man bun on the top. It looked straight out of like a period Chinese sort of flying warrior kind of epic movie. And the hair and makeup artists are so good at their job that nobody ever realized that it wasn't my hair. I would spend days, well, in fact, I spent 2 months with all of the people of Talo Village. And I swear for some people, it wasn't until the end of our shoot that they even realized that I ever wore a wig.
After hair and makeup, we would head to the extras tent to eat breakfast before being taken to set by one or more of the assistant directors, also known as ADs. Here's Hannah Kim, who is also an extra on Shang-Chi, to explain what an AD's job entails.
The crowd AD or extras AD's job is to organise large groups of background extras into a believable background texture for the film's main story to play in front of. They're our main point of contact on set, the person we go to for everything. They tell us, within the limits of our NDA agreements, what's happening in a scene, where the camera will be facing, and what actions we need to be doing. Sometimes the ADs get us to come up with a backstory for our character. This could be something simple such as, I'm walking in a hurry to pick up my kids from school. Backstories like this ensured our actions had purpose and made our performances more believable, thus contributing to the richness of detail in the overall frame.
Considering how much time we spent with the ADs, it's unsurprising that we got really close to them all. As background extra Vivian White recalls,
the ADs really looked after us. We had some really hot days in Sydney and they made sure that water was constantly supplied out to us. They kept us in the shade when not filming and I felt like they really went out of their way to look after us. We developed a really strong connection through working on films for such an extended period of time that when we wrapped, we gave them all gifts, which included a mug with a group photo of all of us extras on it.
While filming a big Hollywood film may seem glamorous, in actuality it can involve a lot of walking, running, and waiting around. A scene that lasts a few seconds or minutes on screen can take several hours to film. Now, I'm someone who exercises regularly, and even I got exhausted a couple of times. I'll pass it over to background extra Pichi Flores, and let her describe to you a scene that took multiple takes to complete.
Hi, my name is Peachy and I was an extra on Shang-Chi last year. So one of the scenes that I remember filming was getting ready for Wenwu and his soldiers' arrival and essentially getting ready for a fight. So this scene had a lot of people in it. So some of the main cast and stunties and extras. And essentially we were split into a number of groups. And, you know, some of us would be running up a hill, some of us would be running down a hill, some of us would be running in between huts. And it was really sort of precise in that our assistant directors or our ADs would tell us when to run for the look and feel of the scene, but also so that we wouldn't run into each other because there were that many people running in all these different directions. And one thing that I remember was, you know, sometimes depending on what take it was, you would be running for 30 seconds or a minute, or other takes you'd be running for a few minutes, which was really fun and interesting. So this scene was one of my favorites, and there was like such a vibe in the air or in the atmosphere of, you know, anticipation, of excitement, and also I guess of a little bit of fear as to, you know, what Wenwu and his soldiers would bring.
When not required on set, all the extras hang out in the large extras tent where we had to keep ourselves entertained. I brought a book to read. Some were playing video games on Nintendo Switches. This is what background extra Keziah Chung got up to.
Now, I was actually still studying uni whilst working on Shang-Chi, so I spent quite a lot of time researching and reading in my time off. When I wasn't doing that, I was happily hanging out with my fellow extras or playing a game of Avengers Monopoly, which is only one of many board games we had to keep us entertained. Other games we played included Codenames, Trivia, Uno, Rummy, and my favourite, Settlers of Catan, which I actually learned how to play in the tent. The best game, however, was Mahjong, a true classic. Some of the older extras brought in Mahjong one morning, and it was very exciting to see the joy on their faces as they played. Besides board games, many of us extras also drew, whether it was drawing in sketchbooks, notepads, or in journals. I reckon we all drew at some point in our time there. I particularly found joy in sketching what I saw around me, whether it be props, the tent itself, or my own costumes, and the sketches themselves are like memories to look back on. The vibe in the tent was always bright and everyone knew each other. It was a great place to wind down when we weren't filming, and many friendships were formed in the hours we spent inside the tent. And I reckon that's really special. Friendships formed whilst working on a Marvel movie is really quite something.
In addition to regular background extras, there were others hired as special ability extras. These people were hired due to their martial arts proficiency.
Hi, my name's Andy True. I've been doing martial arts for about 18 years.
Andy is an actor, presenter, and the host of SBS Pop Asia. He played one of the Talo villagers and can be seen fighting in the third act.
So, once I got the part, from what I can say, there was just lots of training involved. Training, lots of it. And all kinds of things, from weaponry to freehand to body work to doing choreography with other people. And so it was, all in all, just an amazing experience. And it was very cool just to be a part of these major set pieces and work with, you know, some really great people and cool stunt coordinators to production people. To mentally and physically prepare myself for this job, I just tried to stay fit and eat healthy and learn to wake up extremely early because we had some really early call times, like 5 a.m. I'm not used to waking up that early. I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity, though, just the people I met and more.
Andy was, in fact, lucky enough to meet the star of Shang-Chi, Simu Liu, before filming began.
We spent quite a lot of time hanging out while he was here in Australia. I was able to take him to movie premieres, show him around Sydney, and also climb the Sydney Harbour Bridge together and get a sense of what a nice guy he is. So, very lucky. He was lovely and he just focused and ambitious and really excited to conquer this movie, which from what I've heard, he has. I haven't seen it yet because I've been locked down. And yeah, our experience climbing the Sydney Harbour Bridge together was really fun. He tried a bunch of different Australian snacks, from Vegemite, pizza shapes, fairy bread, Lamingtons, and he liked everything except the Vegemite, I think.
In addition to being a background extra, I had the opportunity to also be a stand-in for a few days. For those unfamiliar with the term, a stand-in is someone who substitutes for the actor being filmed so the crew can set up the lights and camera. I stood in for Wenwu and Death Dealer when their regular stand-ins weren't available, but someone who was actually hired as a stand-in is Denise Chan.
Hi everyone, I'm Denise Chan. I'm an actor, writer, director, overall emerging artist based in Sydney, Australia. Last year, I was very blessed to be hired as a stand-in and picture double for the character Nan, played by the incredible and irreplaceable icon that is Michelle Yeoh. So my job primarily as a stand-in was to make sure that I was watching whenever Michelle was rehearsing, so then I could learn all her actions, movements, and eye lines, no dialogue required, so that then when she wasn't needed, she could literally step out, I could step in, and then camera and lighting could get set up so that all their choices are in alignment with what Destin wanted, how they wanted to see the framing and the movement, so that then once they're all set up, Michelle can step back in, and boom, they start shooting. I think, you know, it was such a privilege being a part of that process because being in the stand-in team, we got a copy of the sides every day so that then we would understand the context of a scene, what was going on, why they were moving the way they were, who they're looking at, who they're talking to, so that then, you know, we really understand what is happening and what is required of us. I think that it was such a privilege being able to see this, that magic, you know, live, real time, script to screen, how they decided, you know, what they wanted to do, how they wanted to see it, and what that, you know, communicates as well to an audience. I thought that that was like the real magic of being a part of that whole process. Being an actor myself, I felt very, very fortunate to be able to also exercise the technical aspects of acting, being the importance of, you know, hitting your mark, hitting your eye lines, cheating to the camera when you look a specific way so that on camera it looks like you're looking at someone, but really you're looking at like their ear or something. that kind of stuff was really invaluable to me just because it was so cool to be able to do it on a real set, you know. For anyone who doesn't know, a mark, for example, is something they might put on the ground to indicate where the actor needs to stand or where they need to walk to so that they can get the right framing they need. And I think just, yeah, all those technical parts of acting, you know, you won't always get to exercise those things in a class unless you're on a set. I think the set is the best place to learn. Being on this set, even as a stand-in, just, you know, absolutely invaluable. Then there were the days that I got to actually be a picture double as well. And that was so fun because I got to have my own costume. You know, I got to kind of, you know, be in the faraway shot. So I got to be in those like, things. So, you know, I'm looking forward to when the film comes out and finding those frames where I'm just like a little blur. that is what I'm excited for. I think being able to contribute to the process when I got to be a picture double and, you know, help out with remembering what was happening in a scene because you know, as most movies do, they shoot out of chronological order. So when they bring, you know, the second unit in to do all the pickup shots, it was really cool to be able to kind of contribute to remembering how a scene was working and what was going on. So that was really great to be able to do. And it really like made me feel like I was part of a process, which was really amazing. Absolutely so thankful for the entire experience and really thankful as well for all the amazing people I met on set that were, you know, some were already creative and been in the industry for a long time and some completely new, you know, just people from all different walks of life and backgrounds. And it was just such an incredible, diverse experience to be a part of. It truly was a community that really developed into a family. Yeah, you know, fingers crossed Marvel hires me again someday, but as an actor, eh?
Of course, filming in the middle of a pandemic meant that several precautions had to be implemented to keep everyone safe. In addition to all cast and crew being regularly tested for COVID-19, health and safety production assistants were hired to ensure everyone was adhering to the rules. One of these people was Jack Dignan.
Hello, Andy. Thank you for having me on your podcast today. Yes, I was very fortunate enough last year to be able to work on the production of Marvel Studios' Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. I was one of the health and safety assistants on the movie, which essentially meant that once the production was able to get back up and running last year, they brought us in. So essentially the film started production in, I think, January last year, and they were going for several weeks, and then the whole COVID lockdown ended up shutting the film down. And then about July last year, they, you know, COVID numbers had sort of dwindled a little bit. Things were starting to open back up again slowly. There was still COVID around, so they had to bring on a health and safety team. And they brought on some health and safety supervisors and managers, some very wonderful people. They also brought on some assistants, and I was very fortunate enough to be one of them. The job entailed several different things over the course of the production. Our main focus was being on set and having a presence around Fox Studios, where the film was shot, to ensure that people were social distancing and that we were able to provide required sanitizer and masks and all this PPE gear for anyone who needed it. But beyond that, we were also in charge of coordinating COVID testing, and we were in charge of, you know, making sure that the cast and crew were being tested 3 times a week, whether that was making sure that they came to the COVID testing site or if we would go sometimes directly to them on set and test them on set. When Shang-Chi started production back up again, you have to realize that everyone is scared. People are worried. People are unsure if it's safe. They're not sure if it's going to even get finished. You know, there's a lot of fear. And our job as a health and safety assistant was to alleviate that fear. It was to make people feel calm. It was to make people feel safe. It was make people excited to get back to doing what they love. And there's no greater feeling than finishing off a movie you spent years working on, thinking about, creating a version of in your head, and then having to realize it on the big screen. It's tough.
And there you have it. A small glimpse into what it was like working on Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. It was an honor getting to see how director Destin Daniel Cretton worked with the cast and crew to craft one of the most important entries in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I had an absolute brilliant time on set and met some amazing people who have become close friends. Please like and follow the Marvelous Synergy Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr pages to stay up to date with the latest MCU news, and subscribe to this podcast to hear future episodes. If you're interested in learning more about the MCU, do check out my Marvelous Synergy guides, which can be found on Amazon. Thank you so much for listening.